My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER. Promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, glad you're with us. We are live. We are at the home of Summit Number 2, President Trump and little rocket man, Kim Jong-un. We're in Vietnam. It's crazy. I mean, I've actually finally been able to adapt to the time. I just stay on New York time, but it's 3 a.m. here, 3 o'clock on the East Coast, p.m., 3 a.m. here, and, of course, 12 p.m. on the West Coast. A lot happening here, but we're also going to do a lot of the other news. Most of the president, as reported, is in the air as we speak, making his way over. And the meeting will take place actually Thursday, Vietnam time, with Little Rocket Man. And on Wednesday, Eastern time, or United States time. I know, we're 12 hours ahead here to make it very simple without making it complicated. We have insane updates on Hannity Watch on socialism in America. Ocasio-Cortez is now taking it a step further. Now, remember, the world is going to end in 12 years, but in 10 years, we got to eliminate planes, redo every house, say goodbye to cows because of flatulence increasing the CO2 gases in the environment. Then everything's going to be free. I mean, it's such a great country we are that we're providing every single solitary thing that you've ever wanted in life free. Americans shouldn't be eating hamburgers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? Now she says it's time to stop having children because the world is about to end. And so many are agreeing with her. I mean, Kamala Harris, we're going to feature us tonight. We're beginning our Hannity Watch, the 2020 extreme radical Democratic candidates, and tonight we start with Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris supports the Green New Deal. Kamala Harris actually said, it doesn't matter how we're going to have to pay for it. Anyway, Ocasio-Cortez says, our planet is going to hit a disaster if we don't turn the ship around. And so it's basically like there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. She said,
our planet is going to hit a disaster if we don't turn the ship around. And so it's basically like there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. And it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, is it okay to still have children? And I mean, not just financially, because people are graduating with $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 worth of student loan debt. And so they can't even afford to have kids in a house, but also just this basic moral question, like, what do we do? And even if you don't have kids, there are still children here in the world, and we have a moral obligation to them to leave a better world for them. And this idea that if we just, you know, I've been working on this for X amount of years, it's like not good enough. Like, we need a universal sense of urgency, and people are trying to like introduce watered down proposals that are frankly going to kill us. A lack of urgency is going to kill us. It doesn't matter if you agree that climate change is an important issue. At this point, it doesn't matter.
This is insanity. This will destroy the greatest wealth producing system ever created by man, that has created more ingenuity, more innovation, advanced the human condition than the United States of America, and produced wealth and prosperity for, you know, even compare America's poor to the world's poor. I can tell you, having driven through now the streets of Hanoi, there is poverty on a level that is widespread and frightening and chilling. Welcome to your socialist, communist utopia. And look at what's happening in Venezuela. Look at what happened in Cuba and all the lofty promises of everybody. Oh, everything's going to be free. So on top of having to redo your home, stop eating meat, stop having children, eliminating airplanes, now they're talking about getting off all fossil fuels completely in 10 years. That means get no more cars with a combustion engine. No oil, no natural gas. At the same time, for the first time in 70 years, we're now energy independent because of Donald Trump. And we still have two pipelines on track to be built. And we also have ANWR, we are the world's capital of energy with gas and oil and coal. And that means we can be the mass exporter. We don't have to rely on countries that hate our guts any longer for the lifeblood of our economy. And to promise, you know, these high family sustaining wages and that guaranteed economic security for all. And we're going to have family and medical leave and free government vacations and retirement security and education security. And then you add Elizabeth Warren. Now we're going to use the wealth tax. Why? So we can pay for child care. We'll just take the money from the people already taxed, then we'll take another bite of the apple. We'll legalize government stealing after you already paid all your taxes. And don't forget, when you die, they'll take another 50% if you live in New York, 40% nationally. And don't worry, we haven't screwed up K-12 enough. Now it's going to be K-college. Wow, government schools. We pay most per capita than any other nation on the face of the earth for education, for our students. And we have, you know, we rank, what, 37th? It is unbelievable. And what would give you, you know, when they offer healthy, you know, free, high quality health care, but you can't, according to Kamala and others, you can't stay on a private health system. 177 million Americans lose their private health care. This is what they're saying now publicly, that they're going to do what they want to do, which is literally a 180 on the greatest economy that has created more wealth, more human advancement in the history of mankind. This is what they want. Guaranteed wages, guaranteed college, guaranteed daycare, guaranteed health care, government health care, guaranteed housing, an environment free of monopolies. That means we're going to take over all industry. It's over. America, as we know it and love it, will be over. This is a prescription towards disaster. Now, the problem is you got 100 Democrats supporting this. You got Spartacus, you got Kamala, you got all these candidates and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren all supporting this madness. Now, even if you ever doubted that the extension of the all things liberal, leftist, socialist, Democratic Party runs through their corrupt, abusively biased media, the Times editorial board applauding the Green New Deal on Saturday, insisting that the ambitious and costly environmental bill is, quote, better than our climate nightmare. What? Now the media is jumping on board this insanity. Anyway, the board addressed the contentious points surrounding the deal, including the apparent issues with its rollout and ambition of the project, but said, New York Times, so-called paper record, that the more important thing is that the bill changed the national conversation around climate change and global warming. The same people that told us in the 70s an ice age was coming. And that evolved into the earth was going to melt away from global heating. And then they just went to a generic climate change because if it gets hot or cold, they have an excuse and they get to advance the political agenda behind all of this. I mean, it is madness that is unfolding. And this is what now the Democratic Party, this is what they're going to run on. Wow. And Ocasio-Cortez supporting Congresswoman Tlaib and Omar supporting, let's see, impeach the MFer, the leader of the Democratic Party, you know, farting cows and Green New Deal. Maybe we shouldn't be eating burgers. How about we get to decide? What happened to pro-choice leftism, liberalism? These are the quintessential lies of socialists that have been made throughout history. It's all a promise. It's all a guarantee. It's all a platitude. It's a bumper sticker. Lofty promises deliver nothing but poverty and misery unless you're part of the ruling class. Just like they pass bills before you read what's in them. By the way, how did Obamacare work out? Did you keep your doctor? Did you keep your plan? Did you save money? Nope, nope, and no. And now when you eliminate all private health care, how do we recover from that? You don't. If you get off fossil, how do you transition back? You don't. It is a guaranteed prescription for misery and failure for all people. I mean, this is insanity. But this is what the new Democratic Socialist Party represents. You know, this is what they're now saying. You know, Elizabeth Warren, we're going to have a wealth tax. After you've been taxed, we're going to take more of your money. And we're going to redistribute it. This is quintessential statism, communism, redistributionism, socialism, all the lofty promises that can never, ever be fulfilled. Now we're talking about, well, parents, kids need to stop having children. Sounds a lot like, one child policy. What are we going to do? Nobody, it's irresponsible. We're going to tell people it's irresponsible to have kids. And the Democratic Party is embracing this, you know, generally. You know, Kamala Harris, not only did she torch complaints about the use of identity politics, oh, it's designed to shut people up. No, it's not. How about we're all Americans? You know, Harris, of course we can afford trillions and trillions of dollars of spending in the new Green Deal, but, you know, she said it's not about the cost.
You'll hear things like the Green New Deal. You'll hear things like Medicare for all. You'll hear things like whether it's taxes. You'll hear things.
Right.
At what point do you say that's our North Star, but we have to be realists?
There's no question we have to be practical. But being practical also recognizes that climate change is an existential threat to us as human beings. Being practical recognizes that greenhouse gas emissions are threatening our air and threatening the planet, and that it is well within our capacity as human beings to change our behaviors in a way that we can reduce its effects. That's practical.
Can we afford it?
Of course we can afford it.
$2.5-3 trillion a year for Medicare for all by some studies. Depending on which portion
$3.3 trillion.
That's money. That you know what the Republicans are going to say, tax and spend liberals, pie in the sky.
One of the things that I admire and respect is the measurement that is captured in three letters, ROI. Mm-hmm. What's the return on the investment? People in the private sector
understand this. All right, you hear what she's saying. Doesn't matter the cost. You know, remember, they always pass bills and burdens on you, but they don't want that health care system. They have their own health care system. You know, Pelosi wants Trump's tax returns, but her chief of staff, well, we'll release our tax returns if she only runs for president. They're a bunch of phonies, all of them. Then the witch hunt, the media that goes along with all of this insanity and madness, because it's now bordering on madness. Okay, Senator Feinstein making headlines this weekend, meeting with the appeared to lecturing children and reminding one teen activist, you're not old enough to vote, you know, to declare to the kid activist a seasoned politician. She knows what's going on. You don't. Actually, I'll take the common sense of a two-year-old over some of these idiotic policies. You know, then you got what? More Democrats are just getting more extreme. One Nebraska lawmaker calling the American flag a rag, comparing it to a swastika sticker. And, you know, when Bernie Sanders becomes a moderate, you know you've got major problems here. And it's, you know, Cortez telling us what to eat, telling us whether to have kids, lashing out, saying, I'm the boss. Wow. Unbelievable. Maxine Waters warning foes that she has the gavel and we'll hear the sound all over the world. All right. We'll get to all this. Now, we're in Vietnam. Where are we time-wise here? Okay. We got to take a break. We'll come back. There's so much happening in terms of the president, why this is so important, and why, actually, in spite of all the president's economic success, it may end up being his foreign policy that defines his presidency. And I'm going to explain all of that. And everybody that didn't think little Rocket Man would ever stop firing his missiles over Japan and threatening Guam and the continental U.S. and China and everybody in the region, well, it happened. Hasn't fired a single one in, 15, 16 months. Does he ever get credit? No. All right, from Vietnam. Oh, by the way, 3:20 a.m. here. Good morning, Vietnam. We'll come back. Oh, Linda's story. Linda leaves a day early, gets in an hour later than me. 28 hours ahead of me, she leaves, and her and Blair didn't get here till way later. You know, there are more than 34 million American smokers. Now, I bet that finding a satisfying alternative to cigarettes is at the top of your list if you're a smoker. Look, I've been there before. But after many years of smoking, I finally made the switch to Juul. There's no more worrying about the way my clothes smell, worrying about what people are gonna say. With Juul, everything is so much easier. Now, Juul is a vaporizer that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. When I found Juul, it was a complete game changer. Now, Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to cigarettes. From its simple to use interface to its clean technology, well, Juul has no cigarette ash, odor, or mess. So if you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's nothing like you've tried, visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. And warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, as we roll along, we're in Vietnam for the historic summit coming up later this week. Also, Linda's story from hell, apparently 64 hours from wheels up to wheels down in Vietnam, and we leave, you know, 28
wait,
hours.
Wait. Can I talk about something positive?
Talk. Go ahead. You want to talk?
I just want to say something nice. You know, this is a crazy setup. We're here in Vietnam. I want to give a shout out to our engineer, Blair. You know, he suffered with me through those 4 days. And, you know, I was merely just a
helper.
No,
I feel terrible for you. I mean,
Wait. I'm not done. And I just want to say he's done a very good job of setting this all up here.
Well, still have 4 days to go.
Listen, I have friends back in the States, you know, writing me now saying it sounds amazing. So, you know, I thank you and
kudos,
applaud both
Blair.
Of you. And, you know, my TV team was here. And I don't have a lot of time to get out because I like to really stay focused when I'm on the road like this because I want to be fresh for all that's coming up. We have an interview with the president this week. You've got the summit. We have a lot of travel to do. And my staff, actually, they like to go out sightseeing. I take that as downtime, reading time, and relaxing time, and vodka time, but putting that aside. And they went to the Hanoi Hilton, my TV crew. Oh, my! And you went, Tom, as well, right? They said it was unbelievably eerie, and like this, they try to rewrite history there. That, this is where they played soccer. This is where they played basketball. I'm like, yeah, where did you nearly kill people and bust their legs like John McCain? Where's that place? You know, 5 years. But look, you can see, this country has advanced, but you see real poverty surrounding a city. I mean, driving in is such an experience. It's like we are so blessed and we don't even know the magnitude of blessing until you get out and see other countries like this. All right. We'll give you a preview why we're here. We're in Vietnam. We'll get to your calls, Linda's, you know, trip from hell, and much more straight ahead. All right, 25 now to the top of the hour. We're in Vietnam, 3:35 a.m. local. Hannity live tonight, 9 a.m. local. A lot of my friends are asking, well, how do you sound like yourself? You sound fine because there's one thing I do. I get into my hotel room. I close every shade, every single thing. And I'm not, it sounds weird, right? I just lock myself in my room like a lunatic. But what I do is I stay on New York time. So I'll do this. For me, it's 3 p.m. Eastern time. But it's 3:35 a.m. Here in Vietnam for the historic summit, which we're going to talk about here in a second. We also have that kid that was beat up on tape in Berkeley. Now says 3 eyewitnesses have come forward, was there from the beginning. Interesting, you know, a guy's getting punched in the face numerous times, and it's on video, and nobody in the media seems to care at all. Why? It doesn't advance the story like the Covington kid, or it doesn't advance the story like the Smollett story? And as soon as those, we'll just rush to judgment. We'll smear, we'll slander, we'll besmirch. Character assassination is the word of the day. All right, you wanted to say one thing. Linda is with us, Blair, and everybody, the whole team is here, and Sweet Baby and our buddy Tom is here. All right, so what did you want to say?
Oh, I just was going to talk about the motorcycles that are here.
Oh, it's crazy.
I've never seen anything like it.
No, you know what's amazing? I give the people that ride these motorcycles a lot of credit, although it's hard to cross the street in the busy part of the day.
Oh, you don't cross the street.
Okay, but
I haven't crossed the street yet.
Well, there's a Starbucks nearby where we are, and everybody I know is finding ways to cross the street, but you do risk your life. You know what the most amazing part of it is? Now, there's not the wealth that we have in the United States, but you watch all these the people of Vietnam, and they ride these mini motorcycles.
They're like scooters.
Scooters.
We'll put it online.
But what's so amazing about, you'll put it up on Hannity.com. I watch, they got like couches that they somehow. It's like an art form. They have couches and they box and boxes and boxes.
I think we should talk about the more precious cargo that I saw on these scooters, which were children, infants.
But
strapped, not
it's
strapped.
Scary.
I mean, sandwiched between a mother and a father,
or in front of the one parent that's driving.
No, so they got the older kid in the front because
right.
you know he's four now. He can drive the scooter. Then we got the father.
Say scooter again.
Scooter. Then they got the infant.
Scooter.
Then they got the
Singapore.
Then they got the second parent. I'm like, what is going on?
No, but I will honestly say the ability to stack boxes, furniture,
children.
Well, I'm not exactly the fan of the kids part. I mean, but the ability to stack those boxes as high as they do.
I was in the gym this morning, and where I'm at is right across from.
Let's not talk about where you're at. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're in Vietnam.
There's a big establishment which a lot of people were going to, and there was an In-N-Out underground parking garage, and I'm just talking like. There's absolutely complete disregard for the lanes. The lanes are a mere suggestion. They're just there to let you know.
There are no traffic laws here.
It's unbelievable.
The way people drive, it's nuts.
And I'm on the elliptical and I'm going, I'm just watching from the window.
You know what the coolest thing?
I'm so scared.
So it's, 3:40 a.m. here. On the way over, we're like driving over, and... All of a sudden, we're looking and like, oh, these guys are playing cards.
Oh, yeah.
With lights, that they've, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of poverty here.
Oh, yeah.
The infrastructure is not like even the, it's not even, well, maybe New York's worse. I don't know. I mean, New York's a pit in terms
of
infrastructure.
AOC has her way.
Yeah, of course, no jobs. But it really is amazing to me. And we'll talk more about this later in the week. I don't want to waste a lot of time on it now. But I will tell you, it's amazing what people what they are able to do to thrive and survive in conditions that are nothing like the opportunities that we have in the U.S., which, brings us to this idiotic Green New Deal, which is we're going to remodel every home and no cows and no airplanes and no combustion engine and no oil and gas. And, but everything else is free. We're going to pay for it all. But don't worry about the cost, even though Medicare for all alone is 70 to 80% of our budget, and that doesn't include all the other lofty promises they're making, and they will destroy the lifeblood not only of our economy, but it'll tank the world's economy and into a depression unlike anything I've seen. But all under the guise of free, and this is going to be great utopia. Never going to work. Anyway, we are here. We're in Vietnam, and we'll be here all week. The summit is taking place, well, locally here, it's going to be on Thursday, but in, let's say, Eastern time in New York, D.C. time, it is going to be on Wednesday night. Actually, I think the timing is just around when Hannity gets on the air. We'll know what time they're meeting. I have an interview with the president coming up this week following the historic meeting that he has with Kim Jong-un. Expectations by the media, they're non-existent. They would rather talk about a Mueller report that we're told is not coming out this week at all. And it's funny to watch every news outlet. They've gone all in for 2 years. Trump, Russia collusion. Well, it might not be what you thought. Well, this is just going to be now for Adam, the biggest liar in Congress, Schiff. It's going to be for him to now begin the process of really, really, really describing the Trump-Russia collusion. Because Mueller, 2 years, that wasn't enough. And as they now squirm to manage expectations that they have built up with their breathless, hysterical reporting every day is mind-numbing. But the idea that here we are, after the first summit, the president, what did the president get for the United States? He got a promise from Kim Jong-un that he's going to release the hostages, done. The remains of U.S. servicemen from the Korean War, the 1950s, have been sent back to the United States. The president got a promise of, the process of beginning to denuclearize the entire Korean Peninsula. We haven't had a rocket fired over Japan or anywhere else in, 15, 16 months now? And then the president, what did he give? He's given nothing. And leading up to the first summit, what had happened? Rockets like every other week threatening the continental United States, promises of destroying the United States of America. You know, little rocket man, fire and fury, and my button's bigger than your button. I mean, really serious tensions. Everybody afraid because the president's language was too rough. The president was being too tough. He's going to start World War III. And we end up getting all these concessions. And in exchange, nothing was given by the U.S. Nothing. Except the hope, the opportunity that North Korea can literally denuclearize the whole peninsula. And that means Guam is protected. Japan is protected. China is even more safe. Big announcement by the president over China this weekend. He's delaying those sanctions because the talks with China have gone so well. And we may even have an announcement some point this week. And so part of these talks, I am told from my sources, will literally include and focus on the dismantling of major North Korean nuclear reactors. That would be huge for the world. I was watching Nat Geo, 2 hours on World War II. You think of how close the world came to the precipice of disaster. All the countries, France and, you know, every country that was conquered by Hitler and Nazis and fascists and Tojo Japan and the attack on Pearl Harbor and Russia and Stalin and communism originally aligning with the Hitler and his forces and then eventually getting, you know, attacked and then reversing course. But we have, now you think about this. So all the economic records, you know them, consumer confidence, everything that we talk about on a regular basis, the president's success never gets any focus. You know, president tweeted out this weekend, since my election, the Dow Jones is up 43%. Okay. NASDAQ composite almost 50%. Great news for your 401k. We're bringing America back faster than anyone thought possible. We now have U.S. energy production breaking every single record in the book in terms of we're now energy independent for the first time in 70 years in the United States, and we are now a net exporter of energy, which I've always said is the lifeblood of our economy and also the path to prosperity. Because you're talking about hundreds of thousands of high-paying career jobs for Americans in the energy sector. But, of course, AOC wants to get rid of all of this. You know, now the president, you know, look what he's saying about China. I will be delaying U.S. increase in tariffs now scheduled for March 1, assuming both sides make additional progress. We will be planning a summit for the president of China and myself at Mar-a-Lago to conclude an agreement. A very good weekend for the U.S. and China. Wow, that would be historic. Now add to this one other part of the equation. That the president decided to get out of this horrific Iranian deal. Now we have, I believe, for the first time since the U.N. partition plan in 1947 and 1948. I think for the first time, you have the possibility of a real shift in terms of real potential for peace in the Mideast. Hannity, that's a lofty prediction. Why? Well, number one, we're not dependent on the Saudis or anybody in the Middle East for our lifeblood of our economy. That's huge. That means we can be a net exporter of energy. But number two, you now have, we know intelligence sharing is at an all-time high, that relations have never been better with the president, the U.S., Israel, the Jordanians, the Egyptians, the Saudis, the Emirates, all recognizing Iran as the world's biggest danger, the president leading the way with sanctions, bringing that country financially as quickly as possible to its knees. I know it's maybe some of you liberals are not used to dropping $150 billion on the tarmac of Mueller's that chant death to Israel, death to America, and burn both our country's flags. But that could happen. On top of, let's see, record low unemployment for African-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, Asian-Americans, women in the workplace, youth unemployment, and the employment of our vets. Wow. President says about the talks with China, substantial progress on important structural issues, including intellectual property protection, which is a big deal. I know because my best friend was the inventor of the year, one of my best friends. Oh, they steal everything. Issues of technology transfer, agriculture, meaning good for our farmers, good for American, you know, growers, agricultural services, currency, and many other issues. Why? Because China is now suffering. Why? Because the president put, you know, put the squeeze on them. And all the Democrats care about is phony Trump-Russia collusion and advancing a new Green Deal that will blow up this country as we know it. President also tweeting out this weekend, the only collusion with the Russians was the crooked Hillary and the DNC. But of course, we've chronicled all of that, and the media ignores the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal in history. And the president tweets, where's the server that the DNC refused to give to the FBI? Another great question. The FBI asks for your server. You say, no, thank you. We'll hire our own company. And the FBI comes banging on my door in a pre-dawn raid. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to keep all my computers myself. I'm going to hire my own company. That's going to work. Just like, oh, I deleted 33,000 subpoenaed emails. And, oh, James Baker, the chief counsel for the FBI under Comey, actually agrees with Sean Hannity that Hillary should have been indicted for the violation of the Espionage Act. And he tweets out, where are the new texts between Lisa Page and her agent lover, Peter Strzok? We want them now. Look at where the president is in the polls. I told you about this last week. 93% approval rating in the Republican Party, except for Never Trumpers, which will never grow up. And doesn't matter. Supreme Court originalists, doesn't matter. The largest tax cuts, doesn't matter. You know, better trade deals with every country so far that the president has been dealing with. Then he puts out 52% approval rating overall. Then the president writes, not bad considering I get the most unfair, bad press in the history of presidential politics. And don't forget the witch hunt. Oh, one other thing the president's doing. Did you see? He meets with our friend Alveda King. We love Alveda King. She's awesome. Anyway, and she's happy. The president is restricting funding to Planned Parenthood. The only thing we have to worry about this week is weak Republicans in the Senate that might not go along with the emergency order of the president, even though every other president has used that power. Really unbelievable. So we got all these things happening. Oh, when they make a big deal. Oh, the president said, well, that's where me and Kim Jong-un fell in love. No, that's where we started to connect. Let me interpret Trump speak for you. That's where we started to connect, and we began to build a relationship that brought us to the point he stopped firing missiles over Japan and threatening Guam and the continental United States and the entire region. Well, he said he fell in love. That's where we fell in love. No, that's where they began a relationship which leads to better deals and a safer world, hopefully. But I know it's not what liberals are used to. They're used to bribing dictators like Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, got bribed by the Clinton administration. That didn't do any good. Just like the Iranians got bribed by Obama and his weak, horrific foreign policy. 800, I don't even know what you did with this thing that you gave me. Oh, here, I got it. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. All right, we have all the other news of the day. Dan Bongino and Dan Hoffman are coming up. They're with us right here in Vietnam. Then Linda's trip from hell, we have to get to that. You're going to meet the kid who was beaten up at Berkeley, and he says he now has three eyewitnesses. The media is ignoring it. Not exactly the same treatment as the Smollett case. All right, from Vietnam, tonight we have amazing Hannity, by the way, 9 a.m. local time, but 9 Eastern live. We'll continue from Hanoi. Oh, go to Hannity.com. Wait till you see the motorcycles. All right, glad you're with us, hour two, yeah, from Vietnam, where it is now 4 a.m., believe it or not, in the morning, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. Glad you are on board here for the, hopefully, what is a historic summit with the president, Kim Jong-un. A couple of weird stories as we get here. One is little Rocket Man decided to take the train. I don't think he has a presidential plane because last time in Singapore, he had apparently borrowed it from the Chinese. But who knows? The president says also on another note on China that China's president has been helpful with the North Korean summit. President, of course, also made a big deal over the fact that he is not imposing greater sanctions on China as the negotiations have gone very well and a possible announcement is coming, which is good for everybody, which I was talking about in the last hour. And it appears, you know, this is the amazing thing. Media would rather talk about Robert Mueller today. Media, and there's no Robert Mueller report. It's not coming this week at all. Rather than the idea, if you think back, and I met these great Marines from that are stationed in Okinawa that we had some breakfast with, and we were talking long about How many missiles were fired over Japan? You know, when did we ever think we'd get our hostages back? When did we think the remains from the Korean War would start coming back? So what, is it perfect? Do we have an answer? Have we thread the needle? Is it, well, not yet, but we're making a lot of progress that no other president has made. Similarly with China. Similarly, another promise kept with Canada and with Mexico. UK Guardian, at least they'll acknowledge the president's strategy with North Korea has already been a tremendous success. And what has the president up to this point given North Korea? Nothing. The only hope for them is that they join the world community and their people are not as impoverished and we have trade with North Korea and a better relations, which, by the way, is going to keep millions of South Koreans safe from whatever nuclear potential Kim Jong-un would ever get. You know, he's bringing his foremost trusted advisors with him, which is a sign that they're taking all of this pretty seriously. And they added a dinner to the schedule just recently. They're going to have dinner on Wednesday night. We have a diplomatic source saying the pre-summit talks are focusing on total dismantlement of the North Korean nuclear reactor. Okay, that's denuclearizing the entire Korean peninsula. And we have so much more. Anyway, joining us are experts. They're so kind to come the 26 hours, which is about what it takes. Unless, of course, if you're Linda, who goes a day early and arrives an hour later than I did. Had a little bit of, we'll find out more about that in our news roundup hour. Dan Bongino is with us, former, now Fox News contributor, former NYPD officer, Secret Service agent, author of the number one bestseller, Spygate. He's here with us in Vietnam. Daniel Hoffman, also a Fox News contributor and a member of the president's intelligence advisory board, scaring the crap out of every one of us about how we're being spied on, even in the shower, which is insane. Anyway, guys, thank you for coming, making the long trek.
Yeah, man.
I know the media, Dan Bongino, they're not making as big a deal about this. You know, I was watching Nat Geo for two straight hours, summary of the entire World War II and how far Hitler got, you know, and the moment when Hitler was partnered with Tojo Japan and Mussolini. So it was fascism, Nazism, and in the beginning, the former Soviet Union and communism, till he makes the trek into Russia. Then Stalin switched sides and joins forces with us. But you think how far he got and how dangerous it was. Thinking ahead about denuclearizing the entire peninsula, wow. You know, I thought liberals wanted to imagine a world of peace.
Well, they're not. And you saw Chuck Todd, I think it was this weekend, who said that, well, this is just going to be like a press kind of photo op for Trump, which is the, you know, height of being disingenuous. I mean, Sean, if the North Koreans now, I said this morning on Fox and Friends, if they're about, a 9 on the danger scale out of 10, and Trump can cut that down to a 7 by getting a full accounting of how many weapons they have, you know, by getting our remains back, which is a nice gesture to start, and we can get an idea of even where their technology is, because we don't even have an idea about their capacity for reentry vehicles. It's still an open question now, obviously, which wouldn't affect like EMPs or any kind of atmospheric detonation or anything like that. But the fact that he could take it down from, say, a 9 to a 7 would be a success. And the media pretending like this stuff happens overnight is just a misreading of history.
But Dan Hoffman, we're not talking about a 7 here. We're talking about if the president is fully successful. Number one, he has a ton of success. Nobody in the media wants to give him any credit. But if we get a denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, okay, South Korea, North Korea, Japan, Guam, even China, the world is a much safer place. And if you ever got rockets that could reach the continental U.S., we're really all in much more serious danger.
Yeah, Sean, no question about it. That's a laudable goal. And we have achieved a lot so far. Let's remember that there have been no nuclear tests since September 2017, no missile tests since November 2017. As Dan mentioned, we got three hostages back, the remains of our fallen soldiers. Let's also remember, too, that Kim Jong-un has started dismantling the rocket engine site at Sohae, as well as the nuclear test site in Punggye-ri. Those are places where we need to get inspectors. I would highlight, look, let's have realistic expectations. Kim Jong-un is a ruthless dictator. But I think you have to applaud the administration for having taken us as far as we have. We're on the path to arms control before we get to denuclearization.
You know, it may be, in spite of all the economic success, Dan Bongino,
yeah.
You know, here we have something in the Middle East that's unprecedented. You have the Saudis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, the Israelis, the U.S., the Emirates, and other countries aligning against Iranian hegemony in a partnership, putting Khashoggi aside, which is, you know, unforgivable to me. And I've been the most outspoken person, I think, on public television and radio about the Saudis and the money. I mean, we're talking about deep, profound, historic changes. And add to that, we don't need their oil anymore. We're the number one producer of oil and gas in the world because of Trump.
You know what I think it's been, trying to read this and put the lead out first, I think it's his strategic unpredictability. You know, Sean, we have tried things from the establishment intelligentsia on the foreign policy front the same way for, what, 5 decades now? And candidly, outside of Reagan, yeah, there have been successes. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but we're at the same stalemates in places like North Korea and in the Middle East. I think the fact that Trump has said, you know what, we've tried that, it doesn't work, we're going to do it my way from an all business, I need deliverables approach has changed everything because they don't know what he's going to do next. But, you know, I was just thinking about it. I didn't want to undersell his success before. I hope you didn't take it that way. Trump's success with North Korea. Sean, the country is dying. They have no hard currency. Remember, Kim doesn't care if he feeds his people. If they die, that's just a negative externality of his tyranny. But he does care if he can pay off his military. He has no hard currency. Trump was bankrupt and these sanctions are killing them. So again, a success that will be completely ignored by these.
Just like it's killing Iran.
Iran too.
Yeah. Dan Hoffman, look, you have traveled the world. You've worked in intelligence all your life. You have this uncanny ability to scare the living daylights out of everybody that works for me.
Thanks, John.
Because you know the capabilities of intelligence, and you're basically saying the minute we all land in a place like Vietnam, everything we have on is hacked. Everything. And that I'm probably being spied on when I take a shower, which is really frightening to me.
Yeah, that's frightening to all of us, Sean, frankly.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Welcome
shower
to,
with
welcome
the lights
to Vietnam.
Off? I learned that skill. Never turn the lights on in the shower.
Now, listen, you know...
some of us need to see in there, Dan.
The summit is of great interest, obviously, to us and to North Korea, but it's also of great interest to Russia and China, and they have extraordinarily just extensive and sophisticated espionage capability. They are here in full force with cyber capabilities, and they've got human assets on the ground seeking to obtain as much intelligence as they possibly can. You know, it's a chance to get at the North Korean hermit kingdom, as you all mentioned. Kim Jong-un is bringing advisors with him, and I'm sure the Russians are interested in targeting them and the Chinese as well for intelligence.
But on the other hand, you said something that caught my interest. You said they're not interested in it for lurid details. They're more interested in this for example, they would be more likely to hold on to all of this. And they're more interested in the president. They don't care, even if they were, say, videoing Dan Bongino and you in the shower, they don't care about that. They care about...
Not at the same time. That came out. The way that came out was kind of interesting.
Maybe we should just skip the whole shower reference. I don't think that's helping us a lot right now.
You know,
the Russians have plenty of video of me over the 5 years I spent in Moscow.
Do you know they have that video? You say it with such, I wouldn't, with just total confidence that it's, of course, yeah. That video of me naked.
Well, I mean, I would hope it's not that important to them, but.
But if it was, it would have been leaked a long time. Like all this stuff you're saying they're accumulating with such ease just is happening.
Well, look, the Russians have a saying, Chem chelovek dishit, which in English means what makes a person breathe. And what they do essentially is they mount a full court press to collect as much intelligence information as they can on people, their private lives, whom they engage with, and they put it all together to try to understand the person as well as they can. They're doing that with every single one of the president's team who's out here. They're probably focused on you too, Sean. I don't know about me and Bongino. We're probably lesser targets for them, frankly. That'd be information
overload.
They've
already got me.
But that's what they do. And there's also an intense interest on their part in tracking how the president and his team and Kim Jong-un and his team react to that dinner you talked about and all the other engagement that they have over these coming days.
Do you think, especially in light of the president apparently developing, Dan Bongino, a pretty solid relationship with the president of China?
Yeah.
Do you think that it is maybe reassuring to them that the president keeps his word? I'm sure that they respect that he negotiates hard because that's what they do.
Well, the Chinese are in a delicate balance here. They don't want
their economy's taking a big hit.
Yeah, but they don't want a democracy aligned with the United States right across their border. But also, they don't want an unstable North Korean regime either. Remember, the North Koreans, 90% of their economy is China-based. I mean, they export minerals and coal to China. Without China, they're nothing. So there's kind of this delicate balance where you don't want instability. So those launches over Japan certainly weren't helping, but they don't want a U.S. ally, unified, denuclearized peninsula there either. So it's kind of an interesting dilemma they're in. But can I just say one thing? Dan's right, by the way, Sean. You asked him, how does he know that? When I was overseas with the Secret Service, we would rely on Dan's agency to give us all. These guys were phenomenal. I can't applaud what they do enough. And they do it quietly. Obviously, they can't.
But isn't that the danger of weaponizing, you know, our intelligence, like we've been talking about for now for 2 years?
Why do you think this whole Spygate thing interests me so much? Yeah. I understand that. But we would get an RSO briefing from the DSS guys who ran the embassy, or sometimes from his agency, depending on where we were. And they would bring actual pictures out, faces blanked out, and say, this is a CEO of a company in with a honeypot. And basically, this is what we, and this happens. And it's real. I mean, Dan's not making this up. This stuff is legit.
All right, take a quick break. We're in Vietnam in light of the summit that is forthcoming. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number, all the other issues. Linda's flight from hell. We'll have some fun with that in our final hour today coming up. And 800-941-SEAN, we'll get to your calls. All right, as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, we're in Vietnam. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. As we continue with Dan Hoffman and Dan Bongino. All right, so we got a lot happening here. As the week unfolds, predictions. Usually summits, Dan Bongino, are not predetermined, but you kind of have at least a baseline agreement going in, and then hopefully things get even better.
Well, supposedly from what I'm hearing, these listed demands, give us your whatever, 20 top priorities from the North Koreans and vice versa, have already been exchanged. I've seen everything from, you know, putting North Koreans' ICBMs under control of the more, stable Chinese regime, to they're just going to get a statement out on what denuclearization actually means going forward. You never know. But Trump, you can't count Trump out, Sean. I mean, he has managed to do some incredible foreign policy breakthroughs. And I would even hate to render a guess. This could go really, really well, or, you know, it could be just okay. I mean, that's the best you can say with him.
Dan Hoffman.
Yeah, a couple of things that I would think are in the realm of the possible here. Establishing liaison offices where we would have an official presence in Pyongyang and the North Koreans one in Washington, that would certainly enable negotiations going forward. An agreement for inspectors to visit those sites I talked about. Maybe North Korea at least open to getting back into the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, from which they withdrew in 2003. But I think the big, bold move we might see is an official end of the Korean War. I think that might suit Kim Jong-un, and I think it might suit President Trump's policy as well, would dial down the level of intensity in this relationship a little bit in a positive direction. And I wouldn't be surprised if that issue comes to the fore.
All right. Last question. Will it be a full agreement? And what about the thing with China? What does that mean, the president's tweet today, that he's withholding more sanctions? Announcement forthcoming.
Well, it's huge news for our economy. I think it's a great idea. I think we have to do a lot with the Chinese on the agricultural front and get them to back down on intellectual property theft, also government procurement over there. But that's a huge breakthrough with the Chinese. I mean, you saw the stock market respond already and, you know, can only positively impact this summit as well. We need the Chinese to negotiate with the North Koreans.
Last word, Dan Hoffman.
Yeah, if there's just one among many things I learned at the CIA is just the extent to which this world is so interconnected. And there's a real confluence there between our economic negotiations with China and our strategic negotiations with North Korea. And I think the president is playing that extremely well right now.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Both will join us on Hannity tonight right here from Vietnam and throughout the week. We'll be checking in with them as things develop. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, when we come back, the absolute sick, duplicitous corruption in your news media now more revealed than ever before. And by the way, the antics of Spike Lee at last night's Oscars and, well, Linda's trip to hell to Vietnam. Glad I wasn't a part of it. Straight ahead.
Good evening and welcome to the 1,000,000th Academy Awards. We are not your hosts, but we're going to stand here a little too long so that the people who get USA Today tomorrow will think that we hosted.
That's great. So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall.
Well, tonight I give praise to our ancestors who helped build this country and what is today, along with the genocide of its native people. We all connect with our ancestors. We will have love, wisdom, regaining. We will regain our humanity. It will be a powerful moment. The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
There are a lot of evidence of violent incidents that happen at these MAGA rallies, and I just don't want to get, you know, have Jussie Smollett distract from that.
Obviously, we're not going to put what happened on Trump, but what we can put on Trump clearly is the heightened panic and angst.
Today, you know, folks that believed Jussie as a default position, we feel sadness today. We don't feel stupid today. I feel bad for the people who did not default to that empathy, who think that this is a game, who are gloating today. Those people have something fundamentally wrong with them.
This is a Jackie Robinson against homophobia in the black community, an icon, a beloved icon, and now you have the fall of an icon.
There is an atmosphere, as I said last week, and it remains true today, an atmosphere of menace and fear.
MAGA supporters have painted themselves as that. I mean, when you look at footage, when you hear things they say, this is the honest to goodness truth, and we have to be bold enough to call that out.
But in the court of public opinion,
it matters.
It matters, and he lost that because of how, and not his fault, maybe people were, I don't know what they were saying to him, how maybe because of his representatives, who knows.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour as we continue our broadcast from Vietnam. It's, well, 4:35 a.m. here, amazing 12-hour difference. We'll get to Linda's flight from hell. She left a whole day before me and arrived an hour later. And was not too pleased or happy about it, but she made up for it because she got the presidential palace at some extraordinary hotel.
Welcome. And meanwhile, welcome.
And meanwhile, I'm in a hotel room that is so, an odor that is indescribable is in there. But anyway, I am sorry you went through all of that. Joe Concha joins us. So there was also this drama of Spike Lee walking up and down, I guess, the aisle during the naming of the, I guess, best picture of the year, which turns out to be Green Book, which I know nothing about. But Joe Concha, what was going on? I'm here. They didn't actually have ABC 7 on in Vietnam.
Wow. So despite the rancid smell in the hotel room and the long flight, something did work out for you by not having to watch this train wreck. I look at it that way, Sean. Look, Spike Lee was mad that his picture didn't win Best Picture, and reportedly he was yelling things and it was all angry. So it's kind of funny that this guy's up on stage giving a speech going off on Trump with the usual things we've heard so many times that the American public is numb by them, right? They have no impact. When you call somebody this name, that name, this name for 2 years straight, and it's the boy who cried wolf, or in this case, it's the director that cried wolf, and no one pays attention anymore. So yeah, Spike Lee apparently was angry that his film didn't win. And instead of just being, the type of guy who knows how to accept defeat graciously, he instead just goes off on a childish rant. But that's nothing new because it's Spike Lee.
Well, I mean, I guess they got a better bump in ratings not having Jimmy Kimmel, because I guess the early ratings showed that it was, what, they were up about 9%. But you know, what I don't like about all of this is, what are you wearing? Oh, what is that, Versace? Is that, I don't even know any of these designers. I mean, I wear Levi's, and I'm right now in a FD NY t-shirt, hanging out, usually wearing my NYPD cap 24/7. And I don't care what some spoiled brat, self-important narcissist from Hollywood is wearing, just because they think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, or that we even care about their uninformed political opinions.
And Sean, a lot of people feel the way you do. And I look at the numbers. You could say, oh, they're up 9% from last year. When you hit the basement, when you hit the floor, how would you like to be Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, that the hostless Oscars beat your Oscars by nearly 10%, but the ratings got so low, they only could go up at this point. And look, back in 98, right? So we're talking 20 years ago, 57 million people watched the Oscars. 57 million. Last night, they may get 27 million, 30 million people gone. Where did they go? They're the type of people who think like you do. I don't need to see this sort of platform. We're going to get a political view, and it happened. You played the clip with Maya Rudolph before talking about Trump and who's going to pay for the wall. 30 seconds in, and already I'm not getting the escapism I want, which I get when I go to movies. Instead, it's going to be a political thing. They didn't go as political last night because there was no host. But still, that's what people are predisposed not to watch, Sean.
I am going to make a bold prediction like I did in 2007 and 8. Hollywood is dead. They just don't know it yet. There is now a network of independent filmmakers. I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to talk about my film. That'll seem self-serving, but it was a faith-based film. Very proud of the product, Let There Be Light. If you've ever heard the song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine, an unbelievable movie that was made about that song. By the way, pull up the song, Jason, so people know what it is. And it was over $100 million last time I checked. Now, wow. Let me tell you what that means. We don't need Hollywood anymore. We don't. It is not necessary. And with all of the platforms emerging from Amazon to Netflix and straight on down the line and all the demand viewing, people have more choices, more options, and they're less inclined to go with the formulaic, oh, Jennifer Aniston falls in love with actor A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I mean, that's one formula. The other is, oh, let's do another cart. Let's do another cartoon or comic book hero movie. I can't stand those movies anymore. It was maybe novel in the beginning, but who cares?
You're saying the 10th Star Wars isn't working for you anymore? Or
no,
the
I actually
17th
like
remake of Spider-Man? Listen, yeah, they're out of ideas, it seems.
I like Star Wars. I think it's fine, but you know what? It's not. We don't have to go to the movies to watch it anymore, and you can watch it at home.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, all the prequels and everything else like that. To your point, it seems like all we're doing is recycling things, and you're going to see now a lot of biopics on rock stars because of Bohemian Rhapsody and Queen, and now there's going to be one on Elton John, and then just pick a guy like Mick Jagger or Robert Palmer, anybody, you know, and it's going to be the same thing. So that's one way we're going to go down one road. But yeah, Netflix is changing the ballgame, and Hulu, all these big-time actresses and actors are now doing movies for them because they have the money to pay them. And a lot of people are saying, you know what, I don't want to go to a movie theater where I'm paying, if I want to just take a girl there for $14 and then I got gum on my shoe and I'm in an uncomfortable chair and all that stuff, when I could just watch it at home on a TV that's almost like a movie screen because they're so big at this point and you could get them relatively cheap, that yeah, no one wants to leave their homes anymore because you're getting good quality stuff on the Netflix and Hulus of the world when you don't have to go to a movie theater. So I think that's certainly playing a role here with Hollywood as well.
Yeah, I think so too. And let me just play this song. Now, who would think, look at the biggest box office movie of all time, Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ. I mean, to this day, you know, and I'm not the greatest Christian, I just try to be better.
You're an Easter and Christmas kind of guy when you go to church, just the
all right,
holidays.
Enough. You really?
I am.
You know
it's
what?
Okay.
Geez, thanks a lot, Concha.
I'm just saying.
Just
I
saying.
Go to
just
more.
Saying.
I'm no better. Trust me.
I agree. All right. So, but look, so here is what is known as a Christian anthem song. All right, let me just play a little bit of I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. Let's play a little bit of this.
All right.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
That becomes a massive blockbuster. Now, I love the song. I love Mercy Me. I think they're great. And the movie was unbelievable. And
there you go.
And people, word of mouth got people out, not Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, those are movies they reject for years.
Yeah, it's like that in political campaigns also, right? And look at what Donald Trump did with social media and Twitter, right? You don't need to buy all these advertisements and all these markets. Now you can be your best messenger and for free get your message out. It's the same thing with music. That's the way things are going now. No one buys albums or CDs, obviously, anymore. It's an antiquated technology. But yeah, things can go viral quickly like songs like that because they can be shared so easily from one phone to the other.
I don't think these people know how to touch their I mean, I there is a whole America there, and red state America. I don't like going red and blue, but there's a whole America, and Hollywood, D.C., San Francisco, New York have nothing but contempt for so many Americans. Look, let me give you examples. Irredeemable deplorables. Oh, smelly Walmart people. I love Walmart. I'm a proud people that cling to their God, guns, Bibles, and religions. Oh, there's so many worse things in life than to believe in God when this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Oh, how horrible. You know, learn not to lie about your neighbor, bear false witness, learn not to kill, not learn not to, you know, honor thy father and mother. Oh, gee, wow, that's horrible.
So what was Charles Krauthammer? He had a great line about Roger Ailes and Fox News. And he said, you know, the reason why Fox News is so successful is because Roger Ailes found his niche audience. In other words, you know, the very precise audience, half the country. Right? That's the niche audience. In other words, they had been neglected for so long from what they had seen from media. And there are a whole bunch of people out there that were just sick and tired of all the things that you described in terms of the Excella media, I call it, New York and Washington, the two major hubs for national media, deciding what the narrative is. And Fox News steps in. And, you know, this isn't because you're on there and I'm saying this because I'm a media reporter and I follow this stuff. They filled a void that hadn't been filled before and hasn't been challenged since. So, yeah, I think Fox News is a perfect example of what you're describing in terms of people being tired of what of being basically degraded and diminished and demeaned. And now there's an alternative and now several, whether you're talking about Drudge or a lot of other conservative outlets, that people now have options. And that's why the media doesn't have the impact it used to, Sean, because so many folks know where to get other sources of news, other places to get their information other than the big three networks when we were growing up, 2, 4, and 7, where I lived in New York, and that was it.
All right, we'll take a break. We're in Vietnam. We'll be here all week for the historic summit. We'll be interviewing the president after that summit coming up later in the week. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. We'll give you a preview more of what's coming up. Also, apparently Linda's trip from hell to get here. All right, last final thoughts with Joe Concha. He is, of course, the media writer over at The Hill, media editor. And Joe, all right, so now you got this push to the hard left. Now you got the media exposed again in the Smollett case, in the Kentucky case, the kids from Covington, Kentucky. And time after time after time, they're wrong. What is the fallout in the end of all this?
Well, until there's accountability, nothing, right? I mean, how many people were fired or suspended over the BuzzFeed story that said the president had directed Michael Cohen to lie to Congress? Zero. How many people were fired over Covington Catholic and all the people that got that wrong because they couldn't just wait for other videos to come out besides the heavily edited one? Zero. How many people have been fired over Smollett? In fact, some people are even doubling down, still trying to defend that somehow. Zero. So until you actually hold people accountable, I'm not saying fired, but at least suspensions or a good spanking in a corner office somewhere, it's going to keep happening, and that's the way
But I'll tell you what they are losing is all credibility with the American people, that you cannot even monetize what that's going to mean for them down the road, especially in the day and age where people have more options, choices than they ever had.
Let me put it this way. When President Trump leaves the national stage, whenever that may happen,
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's going to be like the 2008 financial crash, because he is the oxygen that's keeping all of this going, whether it be by people who are interested in what the president's doing or hate the president. It doesn't matter. When he goes away, everything goes down into the gutter in terms of, not forget credibility, profits, ratings, clicks, all that stuff will go away, and you're going to see a crash like we haven't seen since the 2008 financial crash, quite frankly, except it'll be in mostly media.
All right, Joe Concha with The Hill. You can catch his articles. We often post them on Hannity.com as well. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, as we continue from Vietnam, as we begin our 5 a.m. hour here, that's what time it is. Anyway, we'll give you a preview of more of what's coming up this week from Vietnam, Linda's trip from hell, the other news of the day, and much more as we continue straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
You have to go back to where we entered this in the Trump administration to think about the path forward. We've always known this would take time and it would be a step forward and slower than the world has demanded, right? This is a UN Security Council resolution that we're attempting to achieve by getting North Korea fully denuclearized. We started when the Obama administration had a policy which was essentially test, pray, and cower, right? Let them test missiles, let them test nuclear weapons, pray they stop, and cower when the North Koreans made a threat.
Well, they did sanction also.
Not remotely what this administration has done. And they didn't build out a coalition, an enormous global coalition we built out through the United Nations to put that pressure in place to allow us to begin to have what have been real negotiations over the past now 6 or 7 months. I'm hopeful that when President Trump and Chairman Kim get together, they'll make a big step towards realizing what Chairman Kim promised. He promised he'd denuclearize. We hope he'll make a big step towards that in the week ahead. We've got work to do on the denuclearization pillar. We've got remains back. We've had testing stop. Those are all good things. Tension along the border is reduced. If you ask the military leaders, frankly, on both sides from South Korea and North Korea, tensions are reduced. There are many things he could do to demonstrate his commitment to denuclearization. Our negotiating team was on the ground the last 3 days, and they'll be on the ground again today. I'll be there tomorrow to continue these discussions. There are, I don't want to get into the details of what's being proposed, what the offers and counteroffers may be, but a real step, a demonstrable, verifiable step is something that I know President Trump is very focused on achieving.
All right, news roundup, information overload. Yeah, it is, well, 6 past the hour. We're in Vietnam here for the second now historic summit. But I have no expectations except that I'm pretty sure that we're going to make more progress, and the denuclearization and the dismantling of North Korea's nuclear capabilities absolutely has a shot that we never thought of before. We're going to get to that. Also, we're following all the other news of the day, including the insanity. Ocasio-Cortez, no more meat, and she's even taken it a step further. Further than I even thought it was possible for somebody to take. You know, because, of course, the world is going to end. We should now stop having children.
Our planet is going to fake disaster if we don't turn this ship around. And so it's basically like there's scientific consensus that the lives of children are going to be very difficult. And it does lead, I think, young people to have a legitimate question. You know, is it okay to still have children? And I mean, not just financially, because people are graduating with $20,000, $30,000, $100,000 worth of student loan debt. And so they can't even afford to have kids in a house, but also just this basic moral question, like, what do we do? And even if you don't have kids, there are still children here in the world, and we have a moral obligation to them to leave a better world for them. And this idea that if we just, you know, I've been working on this for X amount of years, it's like not good enough. Like, we need a universal sense of urgency.
On top of the new Green Deal and everything, rebuilding every house and getting rid of airplanes and cows because of flatulence and free job, free guaranteed wage, family medical leave, vacations, free health care, but you can't have your own, free college, free daycare now, if you believe Elizabeth Warren, but that's going to be the wealth tax, and free retirement. Everything's free. Amazing. Ask Kamala Harris or AOC how you pay for it. What do you hear? It doesn't matter how we pay for it. Yeah, because it's an impossibility to pay for it. But that trumps everything when we get to what the heck happened on this flight from hell. So Linda and sweet baby James and Blair and everybody from radio and TV are here. You guys left the day before me on Thursday at 8 p.m. and you arrived an hour later than I did. And I thought it was bad because it was 25 and a half hours.
You know what the problem is about this? You know what the problem is? I am never going to live this down.
Well, so my trip was this. It was 25 or 26 hours from the moment I went up after Hannity on the Fox News Channel Friday night, wheels up at around 11 Eastern PM. And the first leg, you know, is long. And then the second leg is, you know, still long. But it was 25 hours from wheels up to wheels down when I landed in Hanoi. How did you arrive after me when you left more than 28 hours ahead of me?
So Blair is here with us, my partner in crime.
I don't know where to start.
You need to talk directionally. You know that, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're okay. On radio, Sunshine. Speak up.
Yeah. So the problem here, there's so many problems. Where do we begin?
By the way, you're going to say Singapore, Vietnam. How do you say Vietnam?
Vietnam.
What did I just drink a cup of?
Coffee.
Uh-huh. And where do you live again? What state?
New York.
Right.
Actually, I just left that crap state.
Yeah, you went to a better one, but I won't talk about it.
I left Cuomo. Cuomo and his crap.
And what do we do? What's this called?
Radio.
What kind of radio?
Talk.
Talk. Okay.
Talk radio.
Talk radio. First of all. Right.
What, do I amuse you?
Do I amuse you?
Just like the gladiator.
28 hours.
No, first of
you
all.
You left 28 hours ahead of me.
Okay, just slow your roll here. You know, I love that you can tell this experience better than me and you weren't there. Okay. I haven't even shared all the details with you because I knew that Monday was going to be my day of reckoning. So anyways, we get on the plane. Well, you know, my car broke down too on the way to the airport because you can't make this
You can't make this up. Go ahead.
Her driver almost gets hit.
My driver almost gets hit because he gets out on a Van Wyck. And the Van Wyck in New York City is very dangerous because people drive like maniacs because everybody's in a big hurry to get to the next red light. And, you know, the guy almost gets hit. Moody, very nice guy, Mahmoud. And we called him Moody. And he's like, I said, Moody, do me a favor. Try not to get killed because I don't think I can handle it.
Well, you know what happened to Terrence Williams, the Twitter guy that we put on TV a number of times?
What happened?
Oh, my gosh. He was in one of those services. It wasn't Uber, another one, popular
I wasn't in Uber either.
Okay. The guy had a horrible accident. He broke his neck.
What?
Yes, literally.
The driver?
No, Terrence.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I've talked to him. He's going to be fine.
Oh, my God.
I got one of my...
Did this just happen?
Yeah, I got one of my doctor friends right on it to help him. And thank God I did.
In New York or somewhere else?
Well, in the state that he was visiting.
Oh, geez.
He was actually on his way to the White House or somewhere, something near there. I don't know, something in Washington. And broke his neck, hurt his spine. And now he's flying home, thank God, to, you know, he lives in Texas. But I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
And well, the good news is I was, you know, you think about a broken neck, you're thinking about paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank God he's safe.
Well, that kind of killed my joking around vibe, so we can move on to something else now. It's not funny anymore.
All right, so you nearly had a crazy accident
on
the way.
Poor Terrence, that's a sin. All right, so anyway, so yeah, so finally the backup driver comes. Poor Blair is at the airport without his passport because I have it because I handled all the visas. So he's got to sit outside. He can't even go in or check in or anything without me. So I'm like, listen, I'm going to be a little late because my car broke down and they got to send me another one and I'm stuck on the Van Wyck. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm totally serious. So we finally get to the airport.
Yeah.
Get on the plane.
How long did it take extra?
Like another half an hour, 40 minutes. It was very relaxing. I was totally unstressed by the time I got to the airport. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the airport and all our bags are too heavy. So we had to repack six bags of gear because each bag was over by 6 to 8 pounds. So we're sitting in the middle of the airport.
Did you buy new bags?
No, forget about it. We just reorganized and shifted it around. And the woman was very kind. And we just kept putting the bags on the scale until we got it to the right weight. It was a disaster.
I still
paid an additional $500 to take it because there was an extra bag and they were all heavy. So, okay. So now, you know, I'm broken down. I got a pickup call. I'm 40 minutes late. All my bags are too heavy. We have to repack them all in the middle of JFK. We have six bags of gear. It's just me and Blair.
I'm getting a headache.
And we haven't even gotten on the plane yet.
I'm getting a headache.
So I'm like, this is fantastic.
This is great.
So we finally get to the airport lounge. We got about a half hour before we take off because, of course, it's taken us forever to get there.
What do you do? You take off?
Take off.
Okay.
So we get on the plane. We're like, all right, fantastic. Honestly, that first 5 hours was no problem. Forget about it. Get to Germany. That's where the layover was. Go up to the lounge. Oh, it's a short layover, 50 minutes, hour, right?
Until they discovered engine one was leaking oil all across
Europe, all across New York, on the runway, engine is down. So every half hour they would come up and say, it's going to be another 40 minutes. It's going to be another 40 minutes. So finally I get this chick, right? I take her to the side. I go, listen, I got a question for you. I just need to know the truth. How long are we going to be here for real? She goes, oh, girl, it's a mess. And I said, what are we talking? We're talking like 3 hours. She goes, oh, you're going to be here at least 6 o'clock. I'm like, fantastic. So we were supposed to leave at 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
We ended up being in Germany for 12 and a half hours.
Yeah.
All these people that are on the same flight with us.
And you're staying in one spot, like in the lounge.
Yeah, you're in one spot. You're in one spot.
Where the boarding area is for that particular plane.
It's a disaster. Okay, fine.
Did you sleep?
No. Well, I think Blair and I each took maybe like a 10-minute power nap.
Yeah.
And then we got back to work. I did a lot of work there in the lounge. I got some stuff done.
Wow.
So finally, we get back on the plane. Now we're on, let me back up. So,
well, you should be thankful for one thing, and I'm not looking for praise, but I did upgrade everybody to first class myself.
Oh my God, is this really the time? Really?
At least you had the first class lounge.
Oh my God, this is so inappropriate.
Well, it's a 25-hour trip, but for you, 50, but go ahead.
Okay, it was 36 hours for us, and then we ended up traveling for 64 hours, but that's at the end of the story.
Oh.
So we finally get the word at 7 o'clock that the plane is ready for its people. We're like, yes. They've changed the gate 16 times. We get down to the gate. It's on the lower level. And Blair and I are like, this is so weird. It's not a terminal. What's going on? They're busing everybody to the cargo area where the plane was fixed. So we don't have to wait in a queue to take off. So we'll be first regardless. So 400 people have to get on buses that hold 50. So now we're waiting for bus after bus. And I just look at Blair. I go, man, this cannot be real. Like, this cannot be real. We finally get bussed over to where the freaking plane is. They got outside steps. They got us climbing up the steps. I said to Blair, no one's going to believe us. So we took a video because you can't make it up, right? As we get on the bus, you know what they hand you? I'm not kidding. I'm not making this. A bag of chocolate. And I look at the woman and I say to her, what is this? You think you're funny? You handing me Ritters? This is a joke? Holy crap. So we get on the bus and we get to the plane. Now we're on the plane. It's mayhem on the plane because the flight attendant tells me, he goes, listen, I just want you to know we're just trying to hustle everybody in. You know, we're really sorry we can't give you the best service right now, but had we waited 10 more minutes, you would have been grounded in Germany because we were past our point of service time. I'm like, oh, okay. So finally we take off. Okay, fine. We're up in the air. I get an email because I have Wi-Fi. Because of the delay of your flight, you will now miss the connection to Hanoi. And I literally just think to myself, my God, am I going to cry now? Should I cry? Okay. So I say to our team back in New York, guys, please, I beg of you, find me a way to get to Hanoi. This cannot be, this can't be true. No planes to Hanoi. Nobody will take the gear. Can't move the gear. You got to stay over in Singapore. I said, oh my God. I look at Blair. I'm like, this is a joke, right? Okay, fine.
Wasn't.
So this, the flight attendant comes over. I said, do me a favor. Come here for a minute. Do me a favor. Call your people on the ground. I'm not making this up. Call your people on the ground in Singapore. Ask them if they'll hold the plane. Our plane lands at 3:15 in the afternoon. That plane leaves at 3:10. I waited 12 hours for you people. They can wait 5 minutes. I'm not kidding. She goes, I'm so sorry, but we, even if we get you on the plane, we can't get your bags. Well, of course, I'm not going to leave the gear, right? So Blair and I make the decision. All right, if we can get on the plane, we'll get on the plane. Otherwise, we're screwed. Forget about it. So long story short, which is very long, they gave us a, so I got a bag of chocolates.
A wallet.
So we have 90 chocolates and a free wallet.
And that you didn't get on that plane.
And she hands me a voucher. I swear to God, she hands me a voucher.
For a hotel?
For the hotel, the airport hotel, which is adjacent to the terminal. And she says to me, I swear to God, she goes, the one good thing I can offer you, it's amazing.
What?
Is the hotel is attached to this terminal. You don't have far to walk. And I look at her and I'm just like, oh my God.
So how many total hours?
64.
So did now I was a little off on my time. Did I get in an hour after you or an hour before you?
You got in an hour after Linda almost got into a fight in the
Then I got to Vietnam. So we sleep over. We get the first plane out to Hanoi. Everything's going great. We land in Hanoi. Blair and I high five on the plane.
I turn my back
Jesus.
For 1 second.
Yeah,
and
right.
I hear a whole bunch of F-bombs being dropped behind me. And I think that can only be Linda.
Oh, boy.
Who else would speak like that in public?
Oh, boy.
And I look over, and Linda's flipping the bird to some guy.
By the way,
her.
Linda grew up in, like, the poorest area of Philly. So just so you know, this is, like, you know, she's come a long way.
Is that
way.
Your mea culpa for me?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't need no mea culpa.
I'm giving it anyway. So what happened? Some guy literally pushed you.
Literally, physically slapped me so hard.
Wow.
I'm standing in line. I'm waiting for the agent. Mind you, this is a nation where the military runs everything. So
right.
The military runs immigration. I'm waiting in line. And the guy slaps me in the back so hard and screams at me. And I turned around to him and I said to him in language that is not appropriate or allowable on this radio show.
Or really anywhere.
Excuse me.
Or anywhere. Exactly. Really. Which is a typical.
Excuse me, sir.
Quick note. You didn't say, excuse me, sir. I'm from New York. But the guy's lucky I wasn't there.
Back
that
up.
That wouldn't have gone over
creep.
Very well.
Get away from me.
Well, we are in, you know, you took up the whole time, but we are in Vietnam. I'm very sorry you had to do that, but with all due
respect. You want to talk to me about time?
I am not going to tell everybody the real reason you could have been on my
First
plane.
First of all.
On my, no, and you're so stubborn.
The real reason is because
I love... By the way, Blair,
is she
stubborn or what?
That's a bit of an understatement.
Did you get here an hour before or after
Oh,
me?
My God. Are you done? You're a problem.
Quick break from Vietnam. Yeah, we are here. We will be interviewing the president and following the summit. I'm hopeful that this could be really historic. You know what? Think how much a better world. Oh, but he won't get any credit from anybody in the media. Trust me. All right. Live from Vietnam. It is, pretty close to 25 after 5 a.m. here, 12-hour difference from Eastern Standard Time. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue from Vietnam. Hannity tonight at 9. When we come back to the kid that got cold-cocked and punched in the face, he does have three eyewitnesses at Berkeley, and we'll have more about that straight ahead.
You want to hit me? I'll shoot you.
And then that's not
good. That's not good.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. That was some audio, the video we played last week on Hannity on the Fox News Channel, literally at Berkeley, UC Berkeley, you know, the ever-so-tolerant left-wing campuses of America, Berkeley, the home of free speech, supposedly. Anyway, after that, what you see is, you know, literally this guy beating the crap, trying to beat the crap out of a young man by the name of Hayden Williams. He's a Leadership Institute field representative, you know, conservative groups calling on the University of California now to take action against a campus employee who, you know, praised the alleged assault on this activist. Now, here's the thing. There are three eyewitnesses. In a minute, we'll go to Hayden Williams, who got cold-cocked in this battle. Why would UC Berkeley, an employee that works for them, be elated by the violence against an innocent person in this particular case? What is it about the MAGA hat that is now triggering people? Make America Great Again is now a trigger. How does a hat that says Make America Great Again become a trigger? I mean, I can see it now used in the court of law at some point as, well, let's say not guilty by reason of insanity because the MAGA hat triggered him. Anyway, but that is now happening all over the place. You know, look at Alyssa Milano, radical left-wing extremist Hollywood nutjob, calling a MAGA hat the new white hood. You know, look at what all of these people, by the way, Lynn Wood is coming your way. All of you that accused him of being a racist, et cetera, and told a false story about the 16-year-old kid, good luck to all of you, because it's not going to work out very well. And, you know, Matt, a professor of the classics and ancient history at the University of New Brunswick, you know, said had the hat is equivalent to the Ku Klux Klan hood or a robe, and the Washington Post saying that wearing a MAGA hat constitutes a deliberate political act and a deliberate provocation. Imagine if anyone said the same. Well, I got angry because somebody had an Obama Hope and Change shirt or hat on. What would the reaction be? You know, the same newspaper, Washington Post, has a fashion critic. To wear a MAGA hat is to wrap oneself in the Confederate flag. The look may be more modern and fit more precise, and it goes on from there. You know, look how wrong the media was in the case of Nicholas Sandman or in the case, you know, more recently of what happened with Jesse Smollett. You know, you come to any restaurant wearing a MAGA hat, you're not getting served, according to, you know, the co-owner in a tweet sent out by the owner of this, you know, restaurant. Think of what's happened to Ted Cruz and Kirsten Nielsen and Pam Bondi and everybody else that has been assaulted and attacked just for wearing a MAGA hat. And Sarah Sanders, for crying out loud, it's a disgrace. Anyway, joining us now to tell his side of the story is the person you heard in the video that we showed on TV, Hayden Williams. Now, you weren't wearing a MAGA hat, from what I understand, correct?
Correct. I was not wearing a MAGA hat on this day. However, we did have a sign that said, "This is MAGA country," to show that, you know, we're condemning hate crime hoaxes and hate crimes in general, and that this is what, you know, supporters of the president or conservatives, this is what we believe.
Well, I would think that UC Berkeley is the home of free speech, but not if you're a conservative, which we've seen with conservative speakers now for many, many years, shouted down, can't speak, attacked. You know, it's pretty unbelievable, but they've allowed this to go on. So let me go right to the beginning. And in light of what happened with Jesse Smollett, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, how do we believe this story? And I think you would probably understand that in light of everything that's happened, right?
Oh, definitely. And I'd just like to say it's not this isn't just, you know, to protest speakers coming to campus or just me. This is a problem that affects conservative students all over Berkeley and all over California, but also right across the country.
But the point is that you see what's happening to Smollett. And this guy's likely to spend years in jail if the evidence, as the police superintendent is pointing out, is so overwhelming and incontrovertible. You wouldn't tell a phony story, which is what I'm saying. And if you did, you'd know the consequences, correct?
Oh, absolutely, Sean. I would never make up some sort of story to portray myself as a victim. In fact, I don't even really want to be, you know, the victim of such
in the public.
Yeah, you know, this isn't my.
Well, let me ask you this. You said you have three eyewitnesses that were there from the get-go, from the beginning, correct?
Yes.
And they've all come out publicly and backed you up.
Right. And in fact, one of them is the president of the Turning Point group that I was helping on campus.
Now, you immediately tried to get your phone video on, which I think was really smart on your part. and videotaped this guy, right?
Right, yeah. There was only, you know, he approached our table and immediately started yelling and cussing. And right then I realized this was probably not a safe situation for myself or the students I was helping. So right then is when I started recording.
How long into the confrontation did you get that tape?
I think it was about 6 or 7 seconds, if that, Sean.
Wow. Now, you know, we've aired it on TV, and I watched somebody, you know, you were trying to, that obviously you were the one being assaulted based on all the tapes that I've seen, and there are different tapes and angles out there. And it looked to me like you were just trying to back up, and in the end, he cold cocks you, you know, after he gets really close in your grill, and have they found this person yet?
So the person, I believe he's been identified, but it's still under investigation, and they haven't released any names for the suspect, but it's my hope that he's arrested soon, whoever it is.
Yeah, I hope so. But you think you've got the identification of this, and what are your plans, and what was your reaction to Berkeley when they have an employee cheering on this assault against you, and do you expect and want the university to fire that person?
I think it's absolutely disgusting that anybody, let alone a member of the faculty, would you know, hail this person as a hero and encourage this sort of behavior. You know, it's totally unacceptable, and it speaks to the sort of culture that some universities, you know, not just Berkeley, but across the country, that they're harboring this sort of hostile culture and violent culture toward conservatives, and it's only gotten worse in recent years.
Now, we've chronicled this problem on college campuses for years. Now, the Berkeley employee actually tweeted out, "Oh, my God, the MAGA people on UC Berkeley campus yesterday got punched in the face by someone. This makes me feel emotionally so much better." If this were the opposite and it was a liberal that was hit on UC Berkeley campus, that person would not be working for UC Berkeley anymore. Now, they did say Friday night that police identified the suspect based on current information available, and the suspect is not a student or affiliate of the university, but the person that supported it does work for the university, right?
Right. Yeah. It's like I said, man, it's just so tragic that some of these people would condone that kind of behavior. You know, on Friday, I went to the hospital because I was still having ringing in my ears and a lot of symptoms. And, you know, I got a CAT scan, and, you know, I'm still recovering and everything, but this was a really serious injury. And it's a shame that some people at the university or, you know, members of the campus community don't take it so serious.
Well, I saw your black eye on TV, but on the other hand, look, I train mixed martial arts 5 days a week, an hour and a half a day, and I have for 6.5 years. So this is all I train for. But I'll be honest, I would do the same thing you did. I would just do everything I could possibly do to back off, get away, avoid the assault. You seem to try everything within your power to prevent this from escalating.
Yeah, and honestly, I hoped that by recording the situation that they wouldn't do anything too stupid or crazy, but obviously that wasn't
the
case.
They did. How many different videos are there of the attack?
To be honest, Sean, I don't know how many there are, but there was, you know, there was well over.
I know we had a couple of different angles. There were well over what?
There was well over three witnesses. Like, there was the entire plaza stopped and stared at what was going on. Yeah.
Now, when you look at the attention from the media with Jussie Smollett and you compare it to your case where there's violent video, what is your reaction? I wanted to believe him instantaneously, and they did. They went in all the way.
Yeah, I think it speaks to their credibility or lack thereof, really, because, you know, even in the article where they state that I was allegedly assaulted, they clearly have a picture of me getting punched in the face. And, you know, similarly with Jussie, they didn't say it was alleged when, in fact, it didn't even happen.
Now, what are your plans going forward? What do you plan to do with the police, the university, et cetera?
So, I mean, as I said, everything's still under investigation, and I'm reviewing the options, just kind of taking it step by step. First, we've got to arrest this individual, whoever it was. Mainly I'm just focused on recovering and getting back in good health so I can continue, you know, promoting conservative principles on campuses. This really only emboldened me.
And how old are you, Hayden? And how did you become a conservative at such a young age?
Well, I'm 26. I just turned 26. I've been involved with youth politics all my life, you know, throughout middle school and high school. I did mock legislature and mock United Nations and that sort of thing. And I carried that into college with me. And after I left, I wanted to continue that sort of activism. So I started started working with the Leadership Institute, and I just think what they do is so amazing and really necessary now more than ever.
Well, I just want to tell you, I know maybe publicly it's hard to get cold cock like that, but you know what? I'm a big fan of Rocky movies. You ever watch Rocky movies?
Oh, of course.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you get hit and you keep moving forward. Let me play a little bit of this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
You know what? You think about that line and you think about how powerful, one of the most powerful scenes in all of the Rocky movies. You know, nobody's going to hit as hard as life, Hayden. Nobody. But it is about how hard you can get hit and get up. And I admire you getting up and moving forward. I really mean that.
Thank you so much, Sean.
All right. Keep us in the loop. We want to be updated, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. You're a huge fan of Rockies, too, Linda. And, no, I mean, you know, this kid didn't – he could have just said, screw this, dropped his gloves, and, you know, gone.
No, of course.
And that when I grew up, that's what we did every day.
I think what I'm more offended by is just the lack of publicity around it. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I think it just shows that this media just doesn't care about people. They care about a narrative, they care about a story, and whoever plugs into that, that's all that matters.
Linda, they didn't care about the furloughed employees. They didn't care about DACA. They didn't care about Dreamers.
They don't care about anything.
They don't care about sexual assault. Look at the lieutenant governor issue in Virginia.
Yeah. Lieutenant Governor Fairfax.
Yeah. What allegations of sexual assault and a rape where the woman told people the next day or that day. And yet we don't hear anything about it. But if his name was Kavanaugh, we'd hear a lot about it from 49 years ago.
I honest to God, I mean, with the amount of people, witnesses they had in the Kavanaugh case, and every witness was like, I don't remember. I wasn't there. That didn't happen. And even Swetnick afterwards, you know, it's like one of those things where you literally get to a place and you got nothing. It's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. All right, we're in Vietnam. We haven't been taking a lot of calls. Don is in Iowa. Don, welcome to Vietnam. Welcome to the Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us, sir.
Well, good morning, Vietnam. Hi, Sean. How you doing?
Well, it's kind of close to 6 a.m. Vietnam time and 6 p.m. Eastern and 3 p.m. on the West Coast. A little weird being upside down like this. But you know what? I'm glad to be here. And we want to give you the best coverage we always can.
Yes, sir. And you always do. I've traveled quite a bit out there myself in my Marine Corps days, and so I sympathize with you, but I called to remark about Cortez and even Dianne Feinstein. They're going to repair our environment, and I love that. That's fantastic. I love that they're going to save the environment, but the funny thing is they can't even fix our budget or our immigration.
No, listen, you're going to get free everything. You're going to get free housing, free retirement, free, you know, job at a guaranteed wage and family and medical leave and vacations and health care, but you can't have your own anymore, and college and daycare and free everything. And don't worry how much it costs. That's even Kamala Harris now saying the same thing. It's unbelievable. By the way, thank you for your service, Semper Fi Marine. Appreciate it. I had a great lunch. I don't even remember how many days when we landed. We had a great lunch with a bunch of Marines that were stationed in Okinawa. Right, Tom? Great guys. We had a good time. And anyway, do I have time for one more call? I do not. All right. All right, that's going to wrap things up a little bit here from Vietnam. Hannity tonight, we are loaded up. We're going to have Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, she's literally now talking about, well, maybe we need to stop having children because the world's about to end and it's not good for the planet. I'm not making it up. And Kamala Harris, all on board. We do a deep dive into the 2020 candidates, starting with Kamala tonight. We'll have a preview of the summit. Dan Bongino and Dan Hoffman here with us. Monica Crowley, we'll see you regular bat time, bat place. Have a great night. We'll